and welcome to episode 6. So glad that you're listening for whatever reason you're listening. And do you want to know why I say that, Keek?
Why do you say that, Girk?
Because it has come to my attention that there are people that actually enjoy our show.
Sweet. Gotta love
that.
And
then there are people that listen to it and they don't know why.
Well, I don't know why. I listen to it and I don't know why, so that makes sense to me.
Really? Well, call me what it's fun.
It is really fun.
And we say stuff that, listen, when we started this out, we knew that we would, that some people would get it and some people would like it, that there would be an audience, and then there would be other people that wouldn't care for the content so much.
Yeah, but here's my thing about that is, you know, we talked about that. It's a podcast. There's a reason why there are podcasts out there, because people choose to find other content that's not being provided for them on the radio or on whatever they're listening to. So they seek out other stuff, and that's super great. And we chose to invite some people and not invite others on Facebook that, like, you know, the content might not be appropriate for.
Well, funny that you should mention that aspect of it, because yeah. When we had discussed, I think this was episode 2 that we discussed, where you had said you had accidentally, like, invited everybody.
Yeah.
And I said that I was really judicious about who I invited to like our page and like the podcast, because I have some more conservative members of my family.
Sure.
Who I was certain that the content would be appalling and raunchy and disgusting. And they may or may not know that side of me, and I just didn't want to go there. So I had opted not to include the whole family and tell really close members of my family. I opted not to tell some close members of my family that I was doing this podcast. So I would like to call this segment Podcast Fallout.
No. Is there fallout?
There was a bit of fallout this week. On Wednesday evening, this family member who I'm talking about and I have mutual friends.
Uh-huh.
And unbeknownst to me, one of our mutual friends happens to listen to our show.
Okay, sweet.
And, which is great. And I'm really, you know, I asked him if he liked the show, and he said he was transfixed and he wasn't sure why. So,
you know what? It's like a car crash. We don't care. I'll take train wreck.
Well, here's the thing. Before I get into the story of the family member, I thought about that. Well, actually, no, I'll tell the story first and then I'll get back to that. But so this mutual friend of ours contacted me on Facebook and went, just told family member that about your podcast. And I went, oh.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I
said,
appreciate that.
You know, I said, no worries, because I could tell he was a little concerned that he let the cat out of the bag, because apparently family member did not know.
We'll call him family member X. Family member X did not know that you had a podcast, and family friend of family member X accidentally told family member X there was a podcast. And I'm going to guess, let me just go out there on a limb, family member X went, really? Well,
yes.
Where do I hear it? And family yes. member X, I'm guessing, listened?
Actually, yeah, but here's the beauty is that family friend
yes.
knows family member X so well that once the cat was let out of the bag, he knew it wasn't going to be good.
Well, then maybe he shouldn't have opened family friend's big mouth.
Well,
no, you know what?
How does he know what I did or didn't do? So it's not his.
I'm fucking with you, because honestly, it doesn't matter, because it should be. There is nothing. We have no shame. There's no shame on Double Double with Girk and Keek.
Anything I've said or done. So anyway, so I respond and I go, you know what? Because I didn't want this guy to feel bad. And I'm like, it's no big deal. He'll hate it and he won't even listen.
Right, right.
Pause. Yeah, I think he's going to listen. Oh, no!
Of course he's going to. I mean, if you tell somebody, here, there's this thing going on, it's really explicit, you're probably not going to like it. Don't listen. It's reverse fucking psychology, works on 3-year-olds and works on 45-year-olds. Yeah, I mean, come on.
So I'm out, and when I was out for the evening having drinks with a friend, and when I'm out, I'm one of those people that do not take phone calls when I am out.
Good for you.
Yes. So the friend that I was with went to use the bathroom. However, I do check when someone stepped away from the table. So, you know, I'll look and see if there's messages or whatnot. Family member X had called me 3 times within the span of like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that he listened.
Yeah. So I, while my friend was in the restroom, I decided that what was really funny is that I had told my friend what had happened with family member X. And I saw the phone calls before my friend went to the restroom. So I'm like, I'm going to call them. I need to nip this in the bud tonight. I don't need messages. I'll, you know, whatever. So I called back family member X and I said, hey, what's up? And he says, I said, hey, what's up? I know this is about the podcast. And he's like, how do you know it's about the podcast? I said, well, family friend gave me a heads up that the shit was rolling downhill. And he's like, my soon-to-be 16-year-old son heard this. And I said, whoa, wait a second. I'm like, this is explicit. This is not content for a younger person. Definitely not. And I said, before you get all crazy, I didn't invite you on purpose because I knew that this would be really content that would that you would not dig, that you would really not really like it. And I'm certain that people are going to be disappointed in me or unhappy.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck that. Disappointed. Well,
I'm not owning it. I'm just saying that, you know, people are going to be like, I didn't know she spoke like that. I didn't know she did these things. And okay, whatever. So I said, listen, I purposely didn't invite you for these reasons. I'm not trying to affront you. I'm not trying to offend you. But that's why I didn't. So it's your choice.
I'm sorry. We are a public service announcement for people who need to know that there are Blumpkins in the world or that accidentally come across duck butter in their lives and go, what is this cheesy substance in my ass? Oh, my God. Now I know it's duck butter. We're a public service announcement.
And maybe I need to use that for insect repellent. Anyway, so he kind of was upset and he's like, you know, my soon to be 16-year-old son is listening to it. And now he thinks that you do Blumpkins. And I said, whoa.
Well, clearly he needs to get the wax out of his ears. If he actually listened, then he would hear what we said.
I said, hey, family member X, I went on record and said, I have never and will never give Blumpkins.
Yes. Like, and so, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, apparently they started with the Blumpkin episode. Apparently, because I had some conversation about the Blumpkin episode in my life as well. So apparently when we title, I guess it's a good tease. That title, it really drew people in.
Yeah, we got a lot of hits. And to refresh the memory of those who may not have listened to the Blumpkin episode yet.
Episode four. You'll have to go back and listen to it.
Oh, do we want to tell them what a Blumpkin is?
No, refresh their memory. Fuck them. Go listen to episode four.
All right. So, you know, so now I'm like, what? He thinks I give Blumpkins. What? I'm like, no. And he says, I don't know what to do about this because, you know, I said, listen, iTunes explains that it's explicit. And he's like, Buzzsprout does not. I said, okay.
Yeah, that might be my fault. I need to fix that. Like, again, you know, I know that we talked about me being a dumbass in one of the original episodes, but I'm really, really good at certain things and not technologically, computer-wise, and not so good at others. And I'm pretty sure I think I know what I need to do with Buzzsprout to fix that.
Okay, well, don't fall on the knife on this. It's not that big of a deal. You actually have to know about that we actually have a show in order to listen to it, so.
Well, yeah, I don't completely fall on the knife on this or the sword or whatever on this one because I'm sorry. I have an 11-year-old son. He is not allowed on YouTube. He is not allowed to listen to explicit content on iTunes.
So I kind of finished this phone call and I'm like, you know, I don't really know what to say to you. If it's not your bag, don't listen. That's all I can say. Don't listen.
Turn it off.
Well, he's like, rawr. You know, he kind of grumbles a little bit and he goes, well, I know you're out with a friend, so I'll just say goodnight. I'm like, okay. And I thought about it. And do you remember the movie with Howard Stern, Private Parts, which chronicled like his
deal? Yeah.
And I kind of would like to liken us to a young Howard Stern, perhaps, when he was on KABC in New York. And there's a little quote here I'd like to read.
Oh, okay, sweet.
The researcher says to Pig Vomit, the average radio listener listens for 18 minutes. The average Howard Stern fan listens for, are you ready for this? An hour and 20 minutes. Pig Vomit, how can that be? Researcher, answer most commonly given, I want to see what he'll say next. Pig Vomit. Okay, fine. But what about the people who hate Stern? Researcher. Good point. The average Stern hater listens for 2.5 hours a day.
What?
Pig vomit. Mm-hmm. But if they hate him, why do they listen? Researcher, most common answer, I want to see what he'll say next. So, if family member X and his family and whoever else they tell, listen to it because it is so egregious, all the more better. Because I will tell you what, since that happened on Wednesday, all of the counts on all of our episodes have taken a significant bump.
You know what? What's the saying? No, there's no such thing as bad publicity. All publicity is good publicity.
So you know hopefully what? We're like Howard
so,
Stern.
Family member X loves to hate us, and that's okay.
No, loves to love us. Let's flip this coin. So the next day, I happened to be in the car with Ruth.
Oh, Ruth.
Ruth. And Ruth and I are driving along, and family member X calls Ruth.
Oh, for the new listeners, Ruth is what we call Girk's mom.
So I guess I forgot to mention this part. Wednesday evening, prior to my calling family member X, Ruth got a phone call wanting to know where I was and did she know about the podcast? And she said, well, of course I know about the podcast. I'm on the podcast, which of course family member X was like, what? You know, she's like, content that I say is, you know. Is
oh,
on.
he thought he was going to get the big get and Ruth was going to say, what? Yeah. Oh no, I am shocked. How dare right. Girk? I'm so disappointed. Mm-hmm. Does he know. She's a big part of podcast.
Right. And actually,
it has her own segment.
Yeah. And actually, before we started recording today, Ruth was on a little conference call with us and she told Keek that she wants to be a guest on the show live.
Yeah. She wants to be a guest on the show. And she thinks that she wanted to know specifically that if we made Blumpkins up and if that's a real thing. So I had to explain to her that, yes, we did research and I did find out if that was a real thing because we were both so grotesquely appalled by it. So, yeah, love it. Ruth
and
knows.
Blumpkins are really getting us a lot of mileage here.
Yes,
so
seriously.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing. We got to keep word of the week going, apparently. So anyway, it sucked the wind right out of his sails because Ruth already knew.
Right. And so there was Ruth was with a family friend, another family friend. And family member X and family friend Y know each other. So they get on the phone and Ruth says that while family member X is telling family friend Y about the podcast and what the content is, that family friend Y, who has not yet had a chance to listen, but will, like, face got completely red because apparently he was telling her that I do Blumpkins and all this stuff. And she was just like, what and what's going on? So now the drama is amping itself back up again.
Wait, he was getting Ruth worked up and telling Ruth that
you
do Blumpkins?
No, he was getting family friend Y, who has not had a chance to listen to it yet. So, okay, so that phone call happened. So now Ruth and I are in the car the next morning, and somehow, you know, this comes up. And wouldn't you know, family member X calls while we're having this conversation. So they're talking for a few minutes. And
my goodness, this was quite a busy week for you.
This was just a 12-hour period. Were you kidding?
Shit.
So family member X gets on the phone with me and he says, hey, you know, I just want you to know that my son will never look at you the same again. That that he will view you in a completely different light. Because my interaction with him was always very, the son, was always very conservatively familiar in a family way. Holidays, whatnot, hi, how are you?
It's about time he gets to know Girk really well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going, yeah, I bend over and or I drop quarters out of my ass or whatever it is that I do.
Interesting about that is I find it fascinating because that's the only Girk I've ever known. And that's the Girk that I love and that everybody I know, all of our friends in LA when you lived here, loved. And I can guarantee you that all of your friends there love. So it's so surprising to me that your family doesn't know that side of you, that certain members of your family don't know that side of you. Like, I would think that you'd be the one whose kids are like, great, you know, the person who everybody calls Auntie Girk, even when they're your friends, or like, I'm sure all your friends' kids call you Auntie Girk, and it's like, fun, Auntie Girk is coming over. Sweet. Show me how to drop quarters out of my ass. But what? I don't, so it's surprising to me that they don't know that side of you because you know what? They're missing out. They should know that side of you.
Well, let me side segue because actually, that you said that my friends' kids know me better.
I'm sure because your friends know you. So your friends' kids are like, my son. When you come over, he's going to know that side of you. He knows that's how he's going to know you.
But I still have the children and grandparents filter, as we know. We've discussed that before, where I don't say certain things or do certain things in the company of people that will be offended or upset about it.
Yeah, but
it.
I'm sorry. 15-year-old boys, they're at an age where they need to know how to drop quarters out of their ass. That's
speaking of which,
there's nothing that says 15-year-old boy other than show me how to drop quarters out of my ass.
Well, okay. So my girlfriend and her sister were on vacation with her daughter, who was 13, 14, 15 at the time. And they had had a couple drinks, not the daughter, the mother and the sister.
Yes, hopefully.
And they dropped quarters. And the girl was like, oh, my God, Mom and Auntie, I can't believe you did this. And, oh, my God, that's so aggressive, whatever. And my girlfriend goes, oh, no, honey, that's one of Aunt Girk's trick. And she goes, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I'm sorry, my nephew, I have a nephew who's 13. Ugh. And it's crazy to me that, you know, the boys are getting so big. But this is the age they start transitioning and everything starts becoming about my penis and you're so gay. And, you know, I mean, that's the age where all that stuff happens. And my sister is just turning into some sort of freak where she posts like ridiculously inappropriate Instagram photos because she's spending way too much time around a bunch of 13-year-old boys, because that's all it is. The other day she posted an Instagram picture of like a hot dog with two little hush puppies or something, and she put them on her plate and made it look like a penis and took a picture of it and posted it, and everyone's going, I'm sorry, how old are you again?
I don't care. I love that. That's
funny. I know,
funny.
But she spent like an entire summer with 13-year-old boys, and you know, I don't know, when in Rome, honey, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and it's, what's really funny too is Superfan Tim just said something to me the other day, because I told him about this podcast fallout, and he said, you know, the thing about you, Girk, is I knew you in high school and I didn't really know you well, so I couldn't say which side of you was what. He says, but you're like one of the most like spiritual, loving person. I'm compelled to read your posts. Someday it's about looking at the bright side of life, or there's beautiful hearts that you see in clouds in the skies, and it's uplifting and I feel really good, and you prop me up and it's like awesome. And then the next day there's a list of 100 things to call your cock.
Yeah, I'm sure and I'm sure he probably thought he was going to listen to your podcast. It was going to be like spiritual teachings by
Kirk. No. I pretty much warned everybody that's exactly not what they were going to get. Okay, so coming back to family member X, so he says, you know, my son, he just won't be able to look at you the same again. And I get it. I mean, you know, the horse is out of the gate. He now knows stuff about me that I think I wish he didn't know just yet because of his age, and not because I'm ashamed of anything I've ever done, but obviously we're talking about stories about you and I, and I think he could have been a little bit older, but that's not how this worked. So I said, if you don't like it, don't listen. That's cool.
Oh, he probably looks at you like you're way cooler than he ever even remotely thought you were.
Well, then let's go here, because he said he thinks you're insane. He now thinks you're insane.
Yeah, and you are.
Okay, well, I am. That's okay. That's part of me that I love and embrace, as well as the spiritual side. He goes, but I have to be honest with you. I go, yeah. He said, I have asked him not to listen to your podcast anymore.
Good luck with that.
And he goes, I don't even know how to filter this at this point. I don't even know how to find a parental control. I don't even know what to do. Yeah. And my son said to me, Dad, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to keep listening.
More power to you. Good for him for being honest. And thanks for the fan. Thanks for the new fan. tell your friends.
what if the parent family member X is that his son's like,
no, absolutely.
Dad,
hey, I was
I'm gonna
not
tell you what I'm gonna do, because I know you're not, you know, like, that's cool.
I wasn't knocking his parenting at all. That's not what I meant. But I did mean that obviously there's conversations. It wasn't about me saying, well, you know, fuck him, he's a bad parent if his kid listens to his content. My point was, you need to have an open dialogue with your kid about that kind of stuff, because when you first mentioned this to me the other day, you didn't really tell me what had happened because we wanted to talk about it on the air, but you did say to me that one of the comments that family member X said to you was, what is Keek gonna say to her 11-year-old son when he listens to the show? And right. I would like to respond to that, because my 11-year-old son knows who I am. I do not pretend to be a different person. He lives with me. He knows that I can occasionally have a potty mouth. Do I swear in front of him? No. I try to set a good example for him, but he also knows that I have a kind of out of control sense of humor, that I have absolutely no filter whatsoever. And he walks around now because he's at that age going, "Mom, you're embarrassing me." But, and I don't care because it's my job as a mom to embarrass him. But we also have... We also have conversation because that's how I grew up. I grew up being mortified by my uncle and my, you know, and because they didn't give a shit either. But I have conversations with him. I talk to him. I do talk to him openly about stuff. He's not ready for it yet because he's not ready to have mom talk to him about that kind of stuff. But I do not want to be the parent that doesn't have the sex talk with my kid or that doesn't have the talk about, look, there's sides to people. There's sides to adults that they don't necessarily want you to see. He knows that there are sides to me that I don't want him to see or experience yet because he's too young and because it's adult. He'll even look at us and go, adult conversation, and walk out of the room. He gets it. I'm not going to hide that. It's who I am.
No, and so then when Family Mirror X said, you know, I don't think I can stop him from listening, it goes, quite frankly, I think he's now shared this link with all of his friends.
Sweet.
And I'm like, and on one hand, I'm like, ooh, the parents are going to be pissed about that. And then the other hand, I was like, ooh, cool, new listeners.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that part of the conversation ended. And then he said to me, so listen, I want you to know that I think what you're doing is amazing. And I'm paraphrasing. I think he said the word amazing.
Sweet.
I said, well, that's cool, but I'm not going to change how I speak or our format or whatever. Just, in, you know, not that this is happening tomorrow, but anytime, you know, I'm not doing it. This is what we do.
Yeah.
So... And, but I was blown away, quite frankly, after the, you know, the browbeating that I got over this the night before about inappropriate. And he goes, listen, I don't like the content. And I said, I don't expect you to.
We're not for everybody. We say it right up front, I think. We're not for everybody. If you don't like
and
it,
he,
don't
but he
listen.
Says, he goes, clearly this is, you know, entertaining for some people. And he said, you know, our mutual friend says to me that he's not really sure why he listens, but that he just wants to hear what you're going to say next. And I said, and that's, you know, when the Howard Stern thing came in and I said that to him, I'm like, you know, and even Superfan Tim is like, you know, not all your stuff is like groovy on. I don't laugh my ass off every single second of your show. And I'm like, well, do you,
they can't all
show?
Be gems. You know what I'm saying? They can't all be gems, but we,
but
we
do post you any show.
We post it warts and all, you know what I'm saying? We might cut a little bit out, but for the most part, it's just like, eh, that wasn't really as funny, but that's who we are. Hey, listen, I'm going to say that we've given this way too much time. I think it's fantastic that people are talking about it. I think it's awesome that it's controversial. I think it's even more fantastic that it's gotten us listeners. But I think it's time we move on.
Fabulous.
I try to put my Gurk filter on, my Gurk goggles on as I go through my life to go, that was funny. So this weekend, I did a garage sale, which I, you know, every time I do them, I fucking hate them. And yet I still do them. And you know why? I get sucked in by the money because my girlfriend,
really?
I was just going to listen. I moved into this house like 9 months ago. My dude was all excited about making the garage his man cave. Whatever. I don't get what that's all about. But he wanted to make it his man cave. And 3/4 of the man cave was really taken up by junk that we just brought from the last house. And I had separated a lot of it to go to Goodwill. And I usually give stuff to the Goodwill, but when I get a ton of stuff, usually I just kind of, you know, I don't do garage sales at my house, but my girlfriend will occasionally do them. And I'll go, look, are you guys going to do a garage sale? Because I have shit that I could sell. I just want to take it to Goodwill and be done with it and get over it. But one of my other friends had just done a garage sale and made fucking $500.
Okay. I got to interject so that I can give you some background on this. My grandmother was a notorious garage saler, meaning... Every year she would have a garage sale.
Yeah.
And every year I would have to sit there. And
why?
She would go in and watch the soap operas because I had to do the sales. And my grandmother had antiques. And I remember one time an antique dealer came and I was all of 10. And I was supposed to get her if anyone came. But I don't know if she'd fallen asleep watching all my children or not. I don't really remember exactly what happened. But somehow she wasn't there or she went to get stamps or something like that. And I fucked up and like sold this thing for $20 less than what she wanted for. And like all hell broke loose, right? I hate, and I don't think I've used that word more than, you know, 10 times. Loathe, despise running garage sales.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel you. I feel
you. It's all your crap.
Yeah. And it's all dusty and gross.
Who wants to buy fucking spoons that you've had in your mouth.
No, okay, listen, though. Listen, this is my thing, is the types of people. Who are these people who go to garage sales is what I want to know. I get that there's the collectors who will kind of look and poke, and sometimes you'll see people come through. It's crazy people watching, because here's the thing. So my girlfriend says, oh, I made, you know, $500 at my garage sale, and I went, shit. Now I can't take all this crap to Goodwill. My dude has been on me all year long. Let's just take it to Goodwill. I'm like, no. Missy made $500. I want to, you know, we're going to sell it. So we finally, 9 months later, my other girlfriend, Sherry, is like, yes, I'm doing a garage sale. Bring your stuff. Because I don't live in a neighborhood that's got a lot of foot traffic. She does. So I drag all my dusty shit over there, you know, at 8 in the morning. Because we don't do the whole 6 a.m. early bird thing. Fuck that. And of course, there's all the crazies. The crazies come out in the morning. They're the ones that are there first thing in the morning, digging through your stuff. Yeah, and you're going, give me a minute. Give me a minute. And all the stuff that you think is great shit doesn't sell. And all the stuff that was like my dirty old ratty yellowed Bon Jovi concert t-shirts. I am a huge Bon Jovi fan. Anyone who knows me knows that I've been to every single concert since 1986. Right. I absolutely love them. But I did not need to hang on to these concert t-shirts. They smelled. You know that smell that you get when it's...
When it yellows.
Those sold. Somebody bought those.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand. And yet some of the good stuff didn't sell. Well, okay. So we're going through this box and my girlfriend, Missy, God love her, didn't even have anything to sell, but she's a good friend. So she comes down to help us set up and run the garage sale. And it's getting towards the end and we just want to go. I'm hungry. I want to go. I ended up making $200.
Do you do it 1 day or do you do a 2 day?
Oh, no, fuck that. One day.
Oh.
No, we do the whole literally when there was, you know, we were tired and hungry. Missy promised her husband a blowjob to go out to the corner and hold a big sign that said free. And he was like, seriously? So he was standing out in the corner holding a big sign that said free.
And she's going to blow him? Do you know if she did?
I don't know. This was just yesterday, so we'll see. Okay. I'm sure she would. She's a giver. But she was out there holding the sign that said free and it's because we didn't want to have to take all the stuff that didn't sell to Goodwill. And then people come and they take it all away. And then we just took our money and we went to lunch. So we're out there and Missy's going through this box and she's pulling shit out for people to just buy stuff and take stuff and whatever. And she grabs this thing and goes, oh, and she shoves it back in the box. I said, what? She says, do you have a fucking vibrator in there? I said, no, no, I would not sell sex toys. I said, what? What is it? And she picks it up and I said, that is a back massager. It's a back massager.
It looked like a phallus. It looked like a penis. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Look, it was a million years old. I don't even know who it originally belonged to. You know when you're selling shit in garage sales and you're like, I don't even know that that's mine. I mean, at one point, Sherry was selling stuff. I was selling stuff and she was like, that's hers. I said, that's not mine. That's yours. Honey, that's not mine. I'm like, whatever. Just give me $5 for it and go away. Take the shoes. Bye. I don't even know who this back massager originally belonged to, but somehow it was in my life. And my guy used to try to want to use it as a vibrator. And I would say, no, first of all, it's a back massager. Second of all, the thing is huge and would burn my clit off if you tried to use that on me.
It plugs into the wall.
It plugs into the wall.
Isn't it like 12 inch long, yes! Like an inch and a half? Like diameter?
Even bigger. It's like, it's got this big, long handle. It seriously is like that one from Sex and the City where Samantha's at the store, at the Brookstone store or whatever, trying to return her vibrator. And the guy keeps going, oh, ma'am, it's a back massager. And she goes over and was talking to the women. It was like that. It had a big, long handle. It's got a huge knob on the end, like the size of a softball. That has a nub on it. It has a little nub on it. And the nub, I'm assuming the nub is to get into your muscles. And my guy was like, no, the nub, you know, the nub is for that. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not even battery operated. You have to plug it into the wall and it vibrates so intensely. It would seriously send me to the ER. We would be on an episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER. Take that thing away from me.
Could you imagine your teeth would be rattling like...
No, that's great. Please stop. So, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I had to hide the thing. When I lived in my old place, I used to have to hide the thing because he would grab it and be like, come on, let's just try it. I'm like, no, no.
Oh my God. Like, I'm just envisioning, like, it's the kind that you, it almost like, it looks like a yard tool almost, but that you have to wrap the cord around the handle.
Yes.
Like the cord's like 16 feet long.
Yes. It's like a fucking yard tool that vibrates. So regardless, I was like, I'm finally getting rid of this because, I mean, yes, my dude was joking. Clearly he was joking, but he used to think it was hilarious because I, you know, and so I thought I'm going to finally get rid of this thing. So I never have to be chased around the house with it again. So she pulls it out and she gets all embarrassed or not embarrassed, but she gets all mortified by the fact that I was selling that in the yard sale. I'm like, look, it's a back massager. Anyone who would have a vibrator from the 60s that still plugs into the wall need some serious attention. We need to go online with them and help them go to a sex shop and buy a decent vibrator.
But I can't even imagine any woman of a normal girth, if you will, or pliability would even, well, there we go. I was going to say that would even think about putting four, you know, a 6-inch wide nub inside. And then I'm like, oh, but people like to be fisted. So forget
that. Oh, yeah. No. And listen, don't get me wrong. There's no, on no planet, except for those crazy videos at the porn store where the women are all wide and gapey from all the fisting. There is no woman on the planet who would have been able to fit that head on that back massager into her vagina. It is huge. It was huge. It was not meant to go inside. Clearly, it was meant to stimulate.
Just love how nonchalant you are. Unless it's those women who are all gapey from the fisting.
What? You haven't seen those? We went into a sex shop once, and they had in the video store. I think it was a bachelorette party, and it was one of those things that you just have to do. Of course, check, go to the strip club, check, go into a porn shop, check. So we're in this porn shop and we're looking at the videos, and they had photos. They had photos of the women of what you're going to see in the movie, and they were like, all spread eagle. And there, I have never seen angrier vag. It was, they were huge. They had a name for it. I can't remember what it was. They had a name for the type of porn that was. It was so crazy ugly. They were so gapey that I don't know. You can't get that back. I don't think you can get that elasticity back once
it's
gone.
There's no Kegel muscles that you could do.
No.
That would ever snap that shit back. That's like a vagoplasty you'd have to get for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like stuff goes in and it doesn't come back out. Like, you know, that's no.
That's when you have to have the guy has to have the board tied on his ass so that he doesn't fall into the Grand Canyon.
Pretty much. So anyway, unless you were that girl, you could not get this thing, angry vag, you could not get this thing up inside your hoo-ha. It was literally meant to stimulate the outside. It was meant as a back massager, but literally if anyone was going to use it, you'd have to stimulate the outside. That's why I was saying you'd freaking burn my clit off with that thing. You would rub me to a nubbin. I wouldn't be able to feel anything for weeks.
So what ended up happening?
I grabbed it from her and said, it's a back massager. So we just shoved it back in the box. And I kid you not, 15 minutes later, this older woman, she's going through the box and she holds it up and goes, what's this? And I looked at her and I look over at Missy, and Missy, she was holding a sign. She was putting signs up. She was holding a sign up over her face and her entire body was shaking. And I just looked at her.
Because Missy had just used the back massage on herself.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She just used the back. No, because she was standing right there. She heard the woman go, what's this? And she couldn't control herself. She didn't want to laugh in the woman's face. So she started to walk away, and she literally held a thing up over her face so she couldn't see her. And she was just like racking with laughter. And I just looked at the woman very seriously, and I said, it's a back massager, ma'am, and it's fantastic. And the little nubbin on the end, it'll dig right into that muscle in your shoulder. And you know what? She bought it. I think I got $3 for it. So
awesome.
And now there is a little old lady somewhere in the valley
with a burnt off clit,
rubbing herself to a nubbin.
Oh, that's so cheerful. Oh, my.
So that
gosh.
Was my weekend. Yeah. I sold sex toys at a garage sale. How was yours? I do have to say that I did do a garage sale once a long time ago, and a neighbor said, can I bring some of my stuff out? Sure. She brings her stuff out. She had sex toys. She had a big sex pommel horse. Oh. You know those little pommel horses that have like S&M straps and shit hanging off of it? She had one of those and she just wheeled the fucker out and left it on the left it on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Here's what how do you explain this? Would you like some of my used sex toys?
Yeah, no.
You know, the handcuffs maybe.
No, thank you. No, thank
you. Like maybe the pommel horse, maybe. But what do you say to people? I bleached these.
Maybe a pommel horse, really? Most people walked by. I walked out. I'm so sweet and innocent. I walked out and looked at it and was like, what is that?
I didn't know you were a gymnast.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, I'm bendy all right.
I'll give the Thomas Flair a whole new meaning. When the first time I went into a sex shop, I think I was, it was in college. I think I had a fake ID, but I actually have two sex stories.
Wait, you don't need to go in. Do you need to have an ID to go into a sex shop? You don't need to be. Do you have to be 18?
Over 18 or over, yeah, or something like that. I'm pretty sure because of the videos and stuff. And I was downtown in Boys Town, and I had never seen any of that stuff before. I mean,
oh, Boys Town had. Did they even have anything that wasn't gay? Boys Town in Los Angeles. If you don't live here, that's where all the homosexuals hang out. That's where all the gay bars are.
Right. And so the same here. And I saw this black dildo that had to be 18 inches long.
I don't understand that. I think
my vagina just clamped down shut. Because, you know, I have strong Kegels. But I literally think that it was like my clitoris put a little sign up that said closed for business. I was just like, and then I had the balls at the bottom. And I'm like,
why do you need the balls? Who needs
balls? I think I was in shock, and I my eyes must have been like saucers for 20 minutes as I'm looking around going, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Like everything was more like, what's grosser than gross here? What's holy crap? And
I still love fisting. There was some episode and I was laughing so hard and my girlfriend was laughing so hard because we were listening to it together when you described some look as the R Town, PD from R Town with the eyes. Yes. Ooh, when your eyes were like saucers and your hair goes, ooh, and raises. Yep. So you were walking around the porn shop like PD. What?
Completely just, I'm sure my mouth was hanging open. I'm sure I looked like, you know, this really innocent virgin girl, which I was.
Did I say R Town or R Gang?
You said Our Town, but it's Our Gang.
Yeah, Our Town was like a musical. The Little Rascals.
But then when I moved to LA, pretty soon right when I got there, I had some bachelor party to go to. It was actually one of the guys at work was getting married. And so a mutual friend of ours and I went to this sex store in North Hollywood. And we walk in, on Vineland, I think it was. And we walk in and we're doing our deal and we're looking for this cute little thing to kind of embarrass him at work. Nothing over the top, but just like handcuffs or
something.
What'd
you get him? Anal beads?
We got him anal beads and lube. No. I don't remember what we got him, but you know, something silly and something not inappropriate to
our not workplace. Inappropriate. Was inappropriate. I was going to say, any sex toy you're handing somebody at a workplace is going to be inappropriate.
Well, then you had to take in consideration where I worked, and I worked for a production company, and we were always inappropriate. But it wasn't like I got the 18-inch dildo and shoved it on the table. You know what I'm saying? It was just like goofy stuff. So maybe we got the penis cake tin and made him a penis cake. I don't even remember because it was so long ago. In any case, there's this guy following us around the store. And I'm kind of getting creeped out, and I nudge our friend, and I'm like, So we're like, okay. And we're parked. Thankfully, we were parked right in front of the store where it was really well lit. And we get our purchases and we walk out. And the man comes up to us and he says, hey, ladies, how are you this evening? Kind of, right? We're like, I'm a girl from the Midwest. She's actually a native Californian. And so I was really surprised by how nice she was to him. And we're like, we're good. He goes, listen, I was watching you guys in there. And we're like, yeah, we kind of noticed. He goes, I would like to know if you guys would like to do a threesome with me. And I'm like, what? And she's, you know, she says to him, no, thank you. But it was really nice of you to ask us. And then I'm like, okay, have a really good evening. And he's like, okay, thanks, girls. Have a nice night. And he tootles away. And it took me a second. I'm like, you responded to him if he just asked us if we had Grey Poupon. You know what I mean? Like, pardon them, but do you have Grey Poupon? We're like, oh, no, but thank you so much for asking.
Thank we were you both so like so polite. And just got.
Yeah, we just got like totally propositioned to have a threesome with some random guy in North Hollywood. And she responds, oh, no, but thanks for asking.
I'm wait, because why? Because if you're in a sex shop, it means you're a hoe bag, a dirty like threesome wanton hoe bag?
I take offense to that.
I take offense to that.
Maybe he thought our mouth was pretty.
Your mouth was pretty. I had a guy tell me once at the grocery store, I was at the Whole Foods, and he came up to me and said, "You have really lovely feet," because I think I had flip-flops. Well, thank you. And then later I went, oh, he probably was like creepy foot fetish guy.
You know, I don't know. Does it have to be, like, you can get compliments.
Who notices your feet? Who notices people's feet?
I have a friend who notices feet. And anytime I get my nails done, he says, your toes look really hot.
He knows you. Ask your guy friend who notices nice feet if he would go up to a total stranger at the store and say, "You have lovely feet."
I don't know. When I see, like, I'll go up to a woman, I'll be like, "You know, your breasts are really beautiful." I do that all the time.
That's different. We're women.
I'm kidding. I totally don't do that. Here's what I love, that you actually think I would do that.
Well, sometimes if it's a really nice boob job.
Well, I've done the, you know, but that's if I've like been acquainted with them. Like, if I'm having a conversation,
I have felt a couple of my friends' boobs when they had boob jobs. Women are different that way because they're like, I want to touch it. Yeah, I want to feel it. Those feel real.
I've touched boobs before and heinies. I call it gentle cupping.
I do gentle cupping too. Mm-hmm. We have a little gentle cupping just when you just go up to your girlfriend and their ass looks really nice in those Spanx and you just want to, just a little cuppage. You just rest your hand right on the bottom of their cheek, of their butt cheek. And you just cup it, just a little cupping.
I went to one of my high school reunions. I'd had a couple drinks. And I gently cupped a majority of the guys because, again, they didn't know me in the light that some of them know me now.
Oh, I only cup women. It's actually, as a throwback.
Can I tell you how much more? Wait, it's much more fun to cup men.
I'm sure. But as a throwback, Missy and Sherry from the garage sale story, we have a lot of photos of us throughout the years at different events with cupping. We just take cupping pictures. Some people take selfies. We take cuppies.
There was this one guy, like he was really conservative and really a really nice man, you know, but just very like, that's not that kind of, I think he was feeling a little shocked. And I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, Pete, do you mind if I gently cup your buttocks?" And he just looked at me and I go, "Everyone's doing it." And he looks at me and goes, "Okay."
He traumatized him. Poor religious
38 years
Pete.
Old, and he's probably never been felt up before in his entire life.
That's
and
great. How'd that go for him? Did he appreciate it? Did he like it?
I think he did. He did laugh and smile, but I think it was my approach. "May I gently cup your buttocks?" Like, I didn't say, "Can I grab your ass?"
Yeah, but the problem there is, what if you accidentally give Pete a little stiffy?
Well, good for Pete.
Then it's uncomfortable.
Not for me, maybe for Pete.
Well, for Pete. I mean, clearly, because you're selfish, you're only thinking about yourself and your needs. You didn't think about poor Pete's needs. But
and
wait.
I still don't.
No, I know. You don't give a shit. But wait, hang on. Going back to the porn shop thing.
Yeah.
I think, I've only been in porn shops like a handful of times. And usually it's because there's a bachelorette party or because I think I only bought one vibrator at a porn shop. And that was because I really wanted to buy the rabbit.
Right.
For myself. I had dead, you know, sometimes when I do commercials and I get a lot of residuals and I'll treat myself. So I go through the years and I go, "Oh, those shoes were sponsored by, you know, my car was sponsored by Klondike and my rabbit was actually sponsored by McDonald's." But because those are expensive. And I went into the Hustler store to buy that. And I went into, but the other stuff that I had, I just bought online. All the times that I've been in porn shops, it was because we needed to buy penis straws for a bachelorette party or we wanted
to
buy.
I've only been in them
sex
to buy
toys
gifts.
For other people.
Or lingerie. I mean, because sometimes, depending on what kind of store it is, it's like a combination where they have like kind of, you know, more sexual lingerie.
Yes, we did. Sherry and I did go into those stores on Sunset again.
Yeah.
If you have not been to Hollywood, there's some stores on, is it? No, not Sunset, Hollywood Boulevard.
Boulevard.
There's a section of Hollywood Boulevard that you don't get to see on TV. It's not, you know, there's the stars, but there's the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And then there's the seedier side where all the clothing stores are that have like the stripper clothes. And we went in there because we were taking, have you ever heard of S Factor?
Mm-mm, no.
It's a pole dancing class.
Oh, fun.
Oh, it's fantastic. So fun.
I'd love to take a pole dancing class.
So fun. You should find one. I'll bet they have a studio in. If you're going to take one for the ladies out there, if you're going to take a pole dancing class, I highly recommend S Factor. Sheila Kelly's S Factor. They're all over.
Are you saying S as in Sam or ass?
S as in Sam, Factor, because she calls it that S, like when you have, when you, you know, when women kind of get in touch with their sexuality and their femininity and their, and so part of the class is the dress up too. It's only women. It's dark. There's no mirrors because it's all just about you and feeling good about yourself and the movement. It's all about the movement. So you dress up and you can wear whatever you want and you dance, you know. And so we decided we're going to go down to Hollywood Boulevard and we're going to find some cheap, you know, sexy, slutty clothes. So we're shopping in this store and the, we were the only ones in there. And the guy, it was a younger guy who was the sales clerk, and he was kind of watching us and not really sure what to make of it. And we're trying on different things and we come out. We didn't end up buying anything. It was just fucking cheesy and slutty. And so we come out and he's helping us. And he says, he stops at one point and says, you know, I just have to say, I've never, you two aren't really like the customers that I usually get in here.
You mean you have all your teeth because you don't do meth?
No, I think he was referring to the fact that we didn't look like strippers. I think he was trying in a really nice way to say, you guys don't look like strippers. Like you look, you know, really. And of course, Sherry, who's from the South, was like, well, thank you. That's so sweet. And then they walked out and we walked out and I said, he just basically said that I think he called us strippers, but in a nice way. But we look like nice high class strippers, apparently.
That's cool. You know what I think? I think I am going to commit to taking a pole dancing class.
Oh, you should. Yes, please.
And letting you all know how it goes.
Yes, please. Because I took S Factor for a year. It's a little pricey, so, but you can buy the tapes and stuff out there. I bought a pole for my house.
And, you did?
Yeah, I know. Family member X, this isn't shocking you, I'm sure.
Where did you put it? Because I literally, this is weird. I literally was thinking of this like 2 days ago. I'm like, I would love, I'm not kidding. It was Wednesday, the same day that all this shit happened, that I was going, you know, that would be so fun. And what a great way. Like, I'm newly single. I've never done that before. I like with some guy and I'd be like, watch this shit.
Watch this. Yeah, I have to say it's fantastic.
And with the scarves and all that crap and how.
Yeah, and it's
hot.
Mostly, and you know, the thing about the S is it's mostly for you and for your, I got into it after my divorce and it really like, you know, it's fantastic. I highly recommend it. And if you're not
really
near.
Empowering.
It's very empowering. It's very empowering. And the thing about it is it really has absolutely nothing to do with turning on the guy. I mean, obviously that happens and it's awesome. But it's really more for, I can say that I've only really ever done it for one person. And that's my dude. And I didn't start dating my dude until probably 5 years after I took an S Factor class.
Okay.
Was it was only like- ever just for me. Oh yeah, he was floored. Don't get me wrong. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the best, like, you know, the best chair dance of his life. I gave him a lap dance.
Oh my goodness gracious.
But the thing about it is it's fantastic is, the poles that they have out there, if there is not an S Factor studio near you, you can buy the tapes and you can buy a pole. You don't need a pole to buy the tapes and do the tapes. It's a lot of floor work. You can do lap dances. You can do all that. But they have poles. The beauty of it is my pole is stored underneath my bed because they have poles that
are collapsible.
They're not really collapsible. You have to have a place for like the pole to go, which would be underneath your bed or in your closet or something. But there's a little thing. There's a little bracket thing that goes that you can find. You find a stud in the ceiling and you put it because you don't want to fucking kill yourself again.
Of course not.
Sex
sent
me to the
ER. I'm like into this whole thing.
And then you're like, woo!
I'm grooving, I'm shaking my hips. And all of a sudden, the pole goes flying. Yes. I knock out my teeth. Yes. I like rupture the guy's balls because the pole hits him in the scrotum. And we're in the hospital.
Sex sent me to the ER. Mm-hmm. Yes, but
that would be my luck. Like I have bloody face. I've got the like nippleless bra on.
Yes.
I've got a
yes.
Bloody.
Yes, and it would be a bloody mess because you'd be hoisting your ass up on that pole. You'd be flipping yourself around, and it would go whing, and the pole would fly off. So yes, please find a stud, and you put the bracket into the stud in the ceiling, and it's not very big. It's white, so it blends in. And it almost kind of looks like it could be a sprinkler. Like, not like people are going to say, what's that?
Like a fire alarm type thing?
Yeah, it just blends into the ceiling. And then, and so then when you want to, you know, you have to find a space where you got some room around it because there's some fun moves that you can do on the pole where you'll have legs.
Like, you've only got 2 feet, so you're just moving a little bit.
You're just like humping the pole.
Jimmying around. Yeah. That's exciting.
You're just grabbing the pole and humping it. Like, isn't this sexy? Yeah, you like this? How about a little of this? Yeah, what about that? Oh.
Go get the back massager.
Isn't this sexy? Turn it on. Turn it on. Wait, I need to get the extension cord for my back massager.
Okay, please go on. What about the pole?
So yes, so you take the pole, and it's got just at the top, it's got a little extender so you can, you know, for the height of where you need to kind of screw the extender. Right. And there's a little bit of give. There's a little bit of like spring or give in the extender part. So you just kind of push it into place. And then you shove it into place and you just kind of, you know, it's not sexy for a second because you got to make sure it's level so you don't hurt yourself. But
a tension rod? Like a tension rod for
it's
your...
kind of like a tension rod, yeah, except it's a pole. And I do recommend, though, they're not cheap. I'm not going to lie. They're like a couple of $100, but worth every penny. And the last time I checked, they had a newer one out called the Willow that's thinner. I recommend the Willow. I got the original one, and from taking class for a long time, the thinner poles are better because they're easier to do pole tricks on.
Okay, why? And I'm just thinking that I'm going to have to look up or something. I am certain that there is some white trash pole dancing accidents that have happened where they've taken,
yes,
like the pole in the closet and have...
No, I saw one on YouTube. There was one going around YouTube where a woman at a party, it was for some reason they had a pole outside and there was a woman fully dressed at a party. And she, oh yeah, I mean, it looked like she probably really hurt herself. Because first of all, you got to have skin on the pole. You can't have fucking pants on. It's too slippery. And she just went flying off that thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's a fucking phenomenal exercise because you're working out everything. Your arms, my arms got super like toned and ripped, and your ab, you really have to use your ab muscles because you shimmy up that pole and it looks really easy, but man, you're using all of your muscles and you do get a lot of pole burns. Okay. I have a tangent. Let me tell you, you get bruised up because when you first start taking the class, you would wear knee pads because it hurts your knee to be crawling around on the ground and doing stuff on the, and then you get used to it over time, but I bruise really easily.
So do I. Yeah.
And when you get a pole burn, it's basically like bruises. You get bruises sometimes on the inside of your wrists because you're holding the pole and you're going and you're twirling around the pole. And sometimes you can get a little bit of pole burn on the inside of your wrists, especially if you're gripping the pole too hard. And on your thighs, I got in the tops of my feet because you grip the pole when you're climbing the pole, and on the inside of your thighs, you can get pole burn because sometimes you can flip upside down and slide down the pole and you have to be able to grip the pole with your thighs. And I bruise really easily. And after a while, your skin gets used to it and it won't bruise so much. But in the beginning, oh my God, there was this one trick that I learned where I look like somebody had beaten me. From the inside of my thigh all the way down to almost like maybe 4 inches above my knee, I was completely bruised from trying this trick over and over again and trying to get it right. So I'm at the doctor's, right? I go to the dermatologist and I'm getting my facial or whatever. And she says, well, when was the last time you had a mole check? Oh, you know what? I don't know. Let's do that today. Okay, sure. Let's do that today. Okay, here's the gown. Get undressed. I'll be right back. So she, thankfully it was a woman. She leaves the room and I'm getting undressed and I went, oh, fuck, fuck, fuck. I don't want to do a mole check today. Fuck. So I'm stuck because now I can't say, hi. No, you know what? Let's not. So I'm undressed and I'm in the gown and I'm like, fuck, fuck, fuck. So she comes back in with the nurse. She's got to be like 50. The nurse was like 65. And so they're doing the mole check and it gets to the part where they're like, okay, you know, open the gown. And they go, oh my God, what is that? What happened? I went, it's a pole dancing accident. What? I pulled it. I'm not a stripper. You know what? It's fine. I wasn't raped.
Oh my God.
It was so embarrassing.
They were very worried.
It was hilarious. You know what? The thing about it is they weren't even worried. It wasn't like a were you raped kind of a situation. They more were like, what the fuck is that? And as I was trying to explain it to them, it just wasn't registering. They both had that look on their face like, I don't understand. I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. No, it's, you know, it's really good exercise and pole dance. They just were both looking at me, shaking their heads like, nope, don't.
I understand.
Was like I was speaking German. There was just no recognition there whatsoever.
Well, I am going to look forward to finding a class.
Find a class. go online and research, because right now S Factor, you know, it was sweeping the nation. She's got studios in other countries. And I am sure, because you live near a big city, I know that I guarantee you there's got to be one in Chicago somewhere.
I think that in Schaumburg, there's this one place I used to go to. I actually think they do pole dancing classes there.
No. You have to find an S Factor.
Why?
Because I've done other, I went to another pole dancing class that was just like in a gym where the bright lights and the you know, and it was all about, let's learn how to, yeah, ladies, let's be, you know, it was taught by a gay guy. And it was like, yeah, let's put our stripper shoes on and learn how to pole dance. S Factor is more about the experience. It's
the sensuality.
It's a movement. It is a whole women's underground movement. And you can take, they do intro classes, because the classes are expensive, but you can do an intro class for like $20 where you can just go and get a taste of what it's like. Right. And then you either get sucked in and say, oh my God, I'm signing up for the class, or you get sucked in and say, I'm just going to buy a pole and buy the tapes and do it at home. But go and just experience the intro class.
I would have to do it with a live person, because I fucking hurt myself doing crunches. The tape.
You would kill yourself. The next time you'd say, yes, I took the class, I bought the tape. And the next time we Skyped, you would have one of those neck braces on.
Exactly.
Don't try to do anything advanced too soon. Once you get to a certain level at the end of class, they do, you know, you do dances for each other, and it's all women, and they, you know, you dance for each other. And I'm telling you, some of the curvilicious, bootylicious babes were some of the fucking sexiest chicks I have ever seen. There is something about being in touch with your body and feeling that sexuality and being super comfortable with your own sexuality and your own body that is so hot. So hot.
Well, I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. Homework.
Yeah, homework. All right, so I guess I got my work cut out for me.
Yes, you do. I can't wait. I'm so excited for you to experience it. It's going to be so awesome.
Yay! I'll be bootylicious. Okay, so again, thanks for listening to us, guys. And I'd like to give you a reminder that if you're in Chicago, the Handcuffs are playing at the North Halsted Market Days on August 10th at 6:15 on the Belmont stage. And we are ever so grateful to have their wonderful music bring us in and out of the show. So until next time... see you later.
Have a great week, everybody. Someone who's clean with a dirty mind.